now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-movie podcast from classic cults, all the cheese in between. The movie's your baby, entertainment is grade A, and I'm your host, Jason Giaconetti, and I'm asking you, when is a Dracula movie not a Dracula movie? When it's the Return of the Vampire, and I'll get to it right after this.
Take Nikki away. Her soul will wander through the night, and you will never find where her body rests.
Nikki, come to me.
That wasn't a man. Was a wolf.
The Return of the Vampire was released November 11th, 1943, with a 69-minute running time. Your director is Lou Landers. Now, Lou Landers made a whole bunch of movies. The Vanishing Shadow, Russell's of the Red Dog, The Raven, 1935. And then he went on to do... Again, he was a studio director, just kind of churning things out. Sky Giant in 38. And then into the 40s, you started thinking The Boogeyman Will Get You. Obviously, Return of the Vampire. The Ghost That Walks Alone, etc. And then cutting into the 60s, he would do episodes of Bat Masterson, The Alaskans, Mackenzie Raiders, Highway Patrol, things like that. So, he was a guy who, again, just working. Your writer credits go to Randall Fay, Griffin J, and Kurt Newman, with Sam White as your producer. Your main star here is Bela Lugosi, Frida Insikot, Nina Frock, Miles Manders, Roland Varno, and Matt Willis. Cinematographer was L. William O'Connell. Music by Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco. Production company was Columbia Pictures. Distribution by Columbia Pictures. Now, even though this is not an official sequel to 1931 Universal Pictures' Dracula, it is often looked at as an unofficial sequel to 1931's Dracula, as it is a follow-up, and it makes sense if you think about what happens in this movie that this would be the follow-up that would kind of follow along. All right, and then this is a picture that is rare for the times. Your main protagonist here is a woman. It's a woman scientist, in fact. It's not even just a woman, it's just a woman scientist, like, where she's a, or she's a, actually a, professor kind of thing. So So the story goes a little something like this. During World War One, the vampire Armand Tesla stalks London. Now, Armand Tesla is clearly Dracula. It's just a different name. Bela Lugosi is dressed exactly like Dracula would be dressed. This is 100% supposed to be just a Dracula extending the story, but let's just go with it. So it's Armand Tesla, because obviously it's Columbia, not Universal, but here we go. His latest victim is admitted to the clinic of Lady Jane Ansley and her colleague, Professor Walter Saunders. They are baffled by what they regard as a severe case of anemia. The vampire infiltrates the clinic, unable to finish his previous victim because she had died from shock. He preys upon Professor Saunders' granddaughter, Nikki, instead. Saunders comes to believe that both patients are victims of a vampire. He shows Lady Jane puncture marks on their neck. He and Lady Jane search a nearby cemetery for the vampire's crypt, unable to find Armand Tesla's coffin. A mirror held to his face, upon finding his coffin, a mirror is held to his face, revealing no reflection, proving that Professor Saunders and Lady Jane, that Tesla is in fact a vampire. The werewolf assisting Tesla tries to prevent their intervention, but does not succeed. Once the vampire is spiked, the werewolf, Andres, is cured of his curse and later becomes Lady Jane's assistant. Okay, so the werewolf makeup here is very much in line with the movie The Werewolf, which I love the makeup of, just very different. The werewolf assistant being able to talk, which is crazy kind of thing. But he's clearly human, and he's cursed by Armand Tesla. This is a Dracula story. So 24 years later, Scotland Yard detective Sir Frederick Fleet reads that the deceased Saunders' account of these events. He informs Lady Jane that if the body they staked was alive at the time, that they will be charged with murder. Lady Jane explains that the man they staked was an 18th century vampire expert named Armand Tesla. Lady Jane tells her son, John, about the investigation. She is certain that Sir Frederick will find that Tesla's body has not decomposed, proving that he was a vampire. She and John agree to keep this information from John's fiance, Saunders' granddaughter, Nikki, to avoid reawakening the trauma of her previous attack. So this is obviously now in World War II. So we went from World War I now to World War II. And it said, no, it's World War II. Here we go. After a bombing raid, cemetery workers find Tesla's corpse exposed with a metal spike still in his chest. Believing the spike to be a bomb shrapnel, they remove it and reinter the body. Thus freed from death, the vampire regains power over Andres and prepares to avenge himself on Lady Jane. Helpless to resist, Andres murders Hugo Bruckner, the scientist who recently escaped from a concentration camp, who had arrived in England to work with Lady Jane. Tesla intends to impersonate Bruckner. While with Tesla's body missing, Sir Frederick closes the investigation for lack of evidence. Yeah, so like this has got a lot of story to it, considering this is kind of like a, not necessarily a B movie, but it's a B movie nonetheless. But it's a lot of story here. There's a lot of like different things. This is not just straight up, let's tell Dracula one more time. This has got some interesting twists to it. Lady Jane throws a party to celebrate John and Nikki's engagement. She discourages Sir Frederick from giving Saunders' manuscript to Nikki and lock it in a drawer. Tesla arrives at Bruckner and charms everyone except Sir Frederick. The manuscript is stolen and left in Nikki's room. She begins reading it and falls under Tesla's power. She is found the next morning unconscious with puncture marks on her neck. Lady Jane questions the gravediggers, who tell her about the spike body. She retells the story to Sir Frederick, who dismisses the vampire story as fantasy. He assigns two plainclothes men to shadow Andres. They report seeing him transform into a werewolf and recover a bundle containing the effects of the real Bruckner. Sir Frederick's suspicion grow when a laboratory assistant analysis of a rifle drawer finds that it has wolf hair in it. Tesla preys on John and convinces Nikki that she did it. John is found the next morning unconscious with puncture wounds. Nikki believes that she has become a vampire. Sir Frederick corners Andres for questioning, but as he begins to transform, Andres escapes. Sir Frederick assigns plainclothes men to follow Tesla, but the vampire eludes them. Tesla threatens to turn Nikki and John into vampires. Lady Jane brandishes a cross, warning Tesla that the power of goodness can still destroy him, and Tesla vanishes. All right, so this movie, again, like I said, it's got a lot of different twists and turns to it. I really, if you were to sit down and watch it, again, you got to divorce yourself from the idea that it, you know, it's supposed to be a Dracula movie, but it's not a Dracula movie, yada, yada. And this is interesting. There is just so much different stuff here than we would get in the Universal horror movies. It's not a gothic horror in that way. This is very much like playing on the idea that it's there's modern medicine, and then we have the modern, and then like the war's going on, and all these different things. So it's really interesting. When Tesla commands Nikki to leave the house, Lady Jane convinces Sir Frederick that they must follow her. Nikki meets Tesla and Andres at the cemetery during an air raid and faints. Andres attempts to carry her to safety, but Sir Frederick shoots him. He and Lady Jane take shelter from the bombing as the ruins of St. Matthias' church. Tesla abandons Andres and tells him to die. Andres crawls into a corner, hearing the words of Jane in his head, grabs a crucifix, and is freed of the vampire's power. He attempts to destroy Tesla. A bomb strikes the church and knocks the two out. Andres recovers and drags Tesla outside, where the rising sun's rays reduce the vampire to bones. Andres dies of his bullet wound. Nikki tells Sir Frederick, and Lady Jane that Andres saved her life. Lady Jane tries to reconceive Sir Frederick that Tesla was a vampire, but he refused to accept the version of events without physical evidence. He asks if the two deputies, if they believe, to which they say yes. Astonished, he turns his head and asks, "And do you people?" This movie, I've seen this movie before, but I caught it on Svengoolie, and I was like, man, I forgot how good this was. It is, you know, like, it's not a huge budget picture, but it's got some really cool stuff in it. And I think often people kind of dismiss it as being just kind of like, I don't know, nothing special, because it's not Dracula. It's not actually a Universal movie. It's not, you know, whatever. But Columbia turned out some good films. And I think it's overlooked often. I think many people overlook it because it's not actually, you know, a Universal movie. But if Universal had made this movie, I think it would be one of the ones that people love. It's just strange how that happens every now and then. You get movies that perfectly fit in with the idea of it being, you know, these horror movies that we hold on these high pedestals. And let's be honest, the Universal movies were, you know, big. They made a lot of money for that company, but they're genre pictures, right? You know, I mean, like Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, those are genre pictures, you know, and this is nothing more than just that, but this is by Columbia. So it was not looked at in the same cycle as the Universals. But by the same token, remember, Universal made Son of Dracula, which, you know, had the most well-fed Dracula of all time. But like Dracula's Daughter, which a lot of people might have dismissed, you know, out of hand, thinking like, well, what could this be about? That's not even really about Dracula proper. That's about, you know, this female vampire. And it's just, there's such good things that you can find in these movies if you're willing to spend some time and dig into them. I think sometimes people just forget, you know, that like, they're like, oh, it's old, it's B, it's nothing special. And they just kind of, you know, push it away. Anyway, but definitely think it's worth your time checking out, especially if you enjoy all of the the Universal movies. It would be in something that you can spend some time going back and looking at and enjoying. Now, this movie is, like I said, I saw it on Svengoolie. This movie was bouncing around for a while, like really cheap versions of it on DVD. And the problem is that I don't know if they're ever going to be able to make this look great. I know there's a Blu-ray. I'm not saying there's not a Blu-ray. There is. There's a Blu-ray of it. But I'm not sure how much better this could ever look than we already see. You know what I'm saying? So the Return of the Vampire, the Blu-ray of it, came out a number of years ago. And it's probably as clean as this movie's ever going to look. It's not relatively cheap. Shout Factory put it out, but it's as good as a summer. And it was, you know, this is again from 2019. Now, make sure you don't confuse this with The Return of Dracula, which is a different movie, which Midnight Movies put out. Return of Dracula is, sorry, let me pull up. Return of Dracula was Gramercy Pictures, and Francis Leder was your main star. But this movie actually, if you some of you might have this, there was a return of the Return of the Vampire, Revenge of Frankenstein, Mr. Sardonicus, and the Brotherhood of Satan. All those came together in what the old four movie holiday Hollywood hits. Some of you might have grabbed that DVD back in the day. Well worth, if you have it, great. It's worth a pop in to watch. All those movies are in their own right. Revenge of Frankenstein might not be the best Frankenstein movie, but again, all of them have their own, unique charm. And again, you could always rent it on, Prime Video or buy it there as well. So do you remember Return of the Vampire? Is this a movie you saw? 43, I mean, you'd have to be, a skosh older than me. To have seen this, even my dad would not have been, he wasn't even born yet when this came out. But this is something that I'm bet showed a lot in reruns on Creature Features, kind of like, Svengoolie or Elvira, or Vampira, things like that. This is a kind of movie that is perfect fodder for that, especially if Columbia sold it through. I know it's not part of the shock package that Universal sold through, but they could, show up there. So, Or did you discover it later on as saying, hey, this is like the Dracula sequel we never got. Let me hear about it. I'd love to hear from you guys. Always appreciate the downloads and listens. Like I always say, I appreciate you taking time to come here and listen to me jibber jabber this time about Bela Lugosi as a vampire who's not Dracula. He's Tesla, kind of thing. But be as it may, kind of thing. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you appreciate it. If you haven't seen this movie, hope you go check it out. Worth your time. 68 minutes is not that long a time. You've probably wasted 68 minutes doing worse things than this. And you'll probably find that there's a lot more meat on these bones than many other B-movie vampire movies have. So, all right, folks. So like I say here, keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots Bugs Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc., are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
We you stop?